Concho with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in today. I have Richard in my hot little hands. Oh, did I mention that the kids are out at a bar? We'll get to them in just a second.
Okay, cool.
Right now, caller number 19 at 312-981-7200 wins a pair of tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco's You Bother Me tour. Pulling into the United Center November 2nd. Reserve seats on sale right now at Ticketmaster.com or at the United Center box office. God, that guy is funny. People, you know what's amazing is people are quoting him.
Yeah.
You know, not since, and it's not even like they're quoting him like they're trying to do a funny line like a lot of people did, whether it was, you know, Carlin or Pryor or any of the, you know, great comics throughout time. But they're actually quoting him like sort of in his observations.
Right.
Which is really something.
Which is awesome. Yeah. He's is now, like a lot of the comics too, he's going to be in Scorsese's new film with De Niro and Pesci. The mobster movie that's coming out later this year.
And what is that mobster movie going to be based on?
What's his name? The guy that was missing for 20 years and then they finally found Whitey Bulger.
Oh, right, so yeah. They're doing their own Whitey Bulger story.
I think so, yeah. But I know he tells a story about the first day on the set. You know, imagine your director Scorsese and your first scenes with Pesci and De Niro. And Sebastian says, you know, De Niro walked up and just said, I hear you're doing good things. Doing some good things. You're doing real good. Doing some good things. Okay. I don't know. That's what I hear. You're a little bit too starting.
Ryan Dempster joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Demp, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Hey, how you doing, huh? How you guys doing?
Hey, I'm hearing good things. Speaking of stand-up, hearing some good things.
That's true. That is that. We should mention that you know, a lot of people thought, what's Ryan Dempster going to do once he leaves professional baseball? You know, the broadcast booth call-in or you know, being a worldwide ambassador. Is he going to run the World Bank? You know, there were a lot of things that people were thinking about here. But stand-up comedy is one of the things that you've chosen, one of the paths you've chosen to go down, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it turns out when I didn't know the conversion rate between the Canadian and American dollar that the World Bank wouldn't hire me, so... Huh. It's been fun. It's something I've always loved since I was a kid. I remember my seventh grade birthday when I was in seventh grade, and you know, we had this little sleepover, and my mom went to bed, and I had four buddies out in a tent out in the backyard. My dad peeked his head and he said, "Hey boys, you want to come inside?" And he let us watch Eddie Murphy Delirious.
That will do it.
Yeah, it had me hooked, and I just, you know, I have a lot of fun with it. It's fun kind of trying to incorporate a little bit of both, you know, the stuff that I experienced over my career, bring a little bit of humor to all that kind of stuff and still be able to talk baseball. So I'm having a blast and seeing where it takes me. Yeah.
That story encapsulates the relationship of moms and dads to children the world over for centuries now, basically. Right? Hey, boys, come on in.
Right.
Mom's asleep. All right, we can have fun now.
Yeah, exactly.
You can split that tall boy. That's it.
Oh, well, and boys, it's a funny thing. You know, it's like boys. And I think any parent who's wants to have that relationship where the mom is going to be, and you know, in the perfect world, you know, the mom is very good at creating the right angles and the lines, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's really a good thing. Dad is really good at destroying them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's... really where it has to be. All right. So, hey, can I just add one thing about baseball before we move on to other things? Because I want to get your thoughts on any of the other stupid things that are going on in the world. But baseball is being played at a pretty high level on both sides of town right now. Cubs could not be on more fire. Sox are playing great. But it looks like they're in two of the toughest divisions in the history of humanity.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I don't see that going away. You have very... very even divisions, and you know, you look at both centrals and anybody can win on any given night, and you know, that's the task you have. But it's fun when you start to see things happen like that's happening on the south side now with the Sox, and you know, Ronaldo Lopez going out there and punching out 14, and Tim Anderson playing, you know, player of the month for the month of April, and these exciting things. And then the Cubs start to play really well after a 1-6 start, and that's what you want. You want it. It's for the city. It's so great because then you have both fan bases having a lot of fun, and then all of a sudden when it gets to that, you know, that Crosstown Cup Classic that comes up, and it can be really entertaining. Somebody's lived through it and been a part of it. When both teams are really good, it's a lot of fun.
You know, Ryan, you mentioned we're talking about Tim Anderson. Rowan and I were talking about how he's the American League Player of the Month. And, you know, I've always had the theory, Player of the Week, somebody can get hot for a week. You know, a pitcher can have two big wins, or a batter can hit 600 for the week. But Player of the Month, 2 years ago, here are the American League Players of the Month 2 years ago. Mike Trout, Carlos Correa, Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve, Manny Machado, and then Aaron Judge again. I mean, it's kind of indicative of consistency. If you can put together 4 or 5 weeks, doesn't mean he's automatically an all-star, but isn't it showing a sign of progress for someone like Tim Anderson, who we know had the talent but kind of needed to harness it?
100%. He couldn't be more right. It's easy, like you said, to get hot for a week or even for 2 weeks or get on, you know, a 3-4 start stretch, but to really dominate a league from either side of the ball, whether that's, you know, on offense or pitching or whatever it is, you're putting yourself in an elite class because you're doing the things that it takes to have a good season, and that's make adjustments. There is scouts out in those stands every single game, watching every pitch that's thrown, and that word travels fast. Every time before a series, there is a meeting that goes on, and a hitter's meeting and a pitcher's meeting, and advanced scouting reports. This is what this guy's doing, and he's making those adjustments, and he's putting the barrel of the bat onto the baseball. He's playing great defense and leading that team in every offensive category, it feels like.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing. He needed to get confident coming off of last season. There are a lot of people. I don't have to tell you this. You could tell me this and tell me that I'm right about it, which is, this is a really tough town for athletes to make mistakes in, right? To become a beloved figure and to become a respected figure are two different things. And it was tough. And I think Sox fans are, you know, incredibly defined critics of their of their own players, right? In a way that I think a lot of teams, you know, don't. I think there's Cub fans are always, you know, it's the blue that carries it. But I think for Sox fans, it's a different deal. And they were super critical of him early because he had some defensive. He was making some defensive mistakes last year early on, and there were moments he was getting punched out late in the, you know, at late in games, and he was watching the third strike come across the plate. And now he is like, again, the game has slowed down for him the same way it has for Moncada and some of the other, you know, guys who are really developing here. And it's just, what a great core. And I don't you think it's interesting that Manny Machado, right? That was the whole thing. The Sox were going to get Manny Machado. And then now they got a guy who's actually playing better than Manny Machado as the, you know, at shortstop. I mean, and there's got to be some relationship between those two things. The guy who's, you know, who now is going to be the guy of the future at short for the White Sox. No, he's beaten that out, and now he can really come into his own.
No, I think you're right, and I think it's, you know, whether that's motivation. I mean, he was outspoken about it a little bit. Like, that does motivate you. When you feel something might happen that might possibly take your job or move you to a different position, you know, Manny probably would have came and played third, but still it was the talk of that's what he wanted to do. And everybody uses motivation differently. And in this game, there's always somebody chomping at your heels. Somebody's always looking to do your job a little bit better than you are and take that spot. And, you know, when you look at a guy like him and Moncada and these young guys, remember the minor leagues, you know, they're like what college is for NFL football players. Once you get to the big leagues, all of those guys are the best of the best. Not everybody in the minor leagues makes it to the big leagues, and so now the game is faster. The ground balls are hit harder. The pitchers make adjustments quicker. If you have a hole, they're going to go to it, and guess what? Not only are they going to go to it, they're going to hit that spot a lot. Whereas when you're in the minor leagues, oh, you're chasing the breaking ball in the dirt. Cool, the guy's throwing it 52 feet. I'm probably not going to swing at it. But in the big leagues, they throw it at 59 feet right in front of the plate, and it looks really good. They do it over and over. They repeat way better. And so what these guys have done is they've had some, you know, some maturation, and they've learned what guys are doing to them, and they've continued to get better. And that's what you want out of your young players. You know, I came up with the Marlins in 1998. Tons of rookies. And you look at that list of rookies, and it was guys like Derek Lee and Alex Gonzalez and Luis Castillo and Mark Kotze and myself. And those guys, we all got better and better at each year as it went along, and then ended up having productive careers. And as long as you see guys continue to trend in a positive direction and be healthy, then you're going to see good results because they all got talent. They got tremendous talent down there and a good thing going.
All right, let's go back to the Cubs here for a second, because they're on a tear now. They seem to have finally kicked into what they know they can be, because the expectations are super high. Totally different situation, right? They're a team that has won the World Series, that the World Series window, you know, they're 2 years on. Last year, their ignominious end in a game that lasted 16 and a half hours or whatever, and you know, the play-in game, and to lose it. I mean, this is a team that everybody expects to be in the World Series, and now they're playing like them.
Yeah, and you know, to get off to the start, you know, I looked at that second game of the year to have that lead in Texas and lose that, and then lose the next one. It just kind of snowballed. You go to spring training and you're gone for 2 months, and then you start on the road for 9 games, and you start off not like you want to, and then all of a sudden just start to get it rolling. And what got it rolling? The pitching. The guys started pitching really well. The bullpen started doing great, and these guys are winners. That's what they do. And, like, you know, sometimes people will be like, I'm not sure. I'm like, I will doubt a single guy in that locker room, because I've watched them grind it out and go through the ups and downs, Dirk being down 3-1 to Cleveland. And I'm not talking one or two guys left on the team. I'm talking a large percentage of those guys have been there. They're champions at heart. They know what it takes. And they're just staying the course. And they're very determined and they're very focused. You're not going to win every game, but you're going to go out there and just try and win as many of the plays and many of the pitches as you possibly can, whether that's when you're throwing a pitch, execute. When you're at the plate, execute. When you're on defense, field the ball cleanly, catch it cleanly, make the throw. And they have the talent to do it, and I think you're kind of starting to see that take off now. And like you said at the start of all this, tough division. The Cardinals are playing great. It's going to be a blast on the north side this weekend with that series. And so it's a lot of fun to see these guys kind of get it rolling and see who they truly are.
Yeah, well, and again, no matter what, when St. Louis and the Cubs get together, it doesn't matter what the records are, right? It's always a show, because
every time,
yeah. And I got to let me tell you a little something bothers me. I 52 million people came to Chicago last year as tourists.
Wow,
51 million of them came from St. Louis, and that every time the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals play here, there is a sea of red downtown, yeah. Right? And they not only do they travel great for their team, but they like to wear those jerseys everywhere they are.
They do.
Because they want to be identified, no matter what it is. And the line out the door at Harry Caray's, that's the one thing. This weekend, don't plan on getting in. Because it's a sea of Cardinals fans to go, because that's like going to a holy shrine. It's like going
announced for 25 years with the Cardinals,
right? It basically, Harry Caray has become the Vatican for the pilgrims of the St. Louis Cardinals who come up here. And
although I enjoy giving them incorrect directions, Ryan, it's fun. So what I say, okay, you see that big baseball bat where it says Harry Caray? Oh, is that? I go, no, that's pointing you in the direction you need to go. About 6 more blocks that way as the bat flies.
And then, right, 2 lefts, 3 rights, and then it's just going to be past the fountain. You'll be right next to Soldier Field where you want to go.
Fine. They're like, oh, it looks different than we thought. Where's the entrance?
That's right.
You know what? The nice part is, I've always said the Cardinal fans are awesome. They are, and they're respectful. Like, I'll never forget being a rookie and Mark Kotze in 1998. We're playing with the Marlins. We stunk. He makes his diving catch in center field. We're at the old Busch Stadium, and he comes running in, ends the inning, and all of a sudden, the entire section behind our dugout gives him a standing ovation.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And that's how it is. So it's always fun. You'll see the nice gentleman sits out a lot of times in the bleachers with his big, huge signs that he puts up. And, you know, it's a sea of red and blue, just like when you go down there and the Cubs are traveling down there.
Right.
Blue and red down there.
It's always a
great series.
Well, remember Chris Bryant said St. Louis was boring, and they were mad for about a week, and they're like, yeah, you know, what the heck? We kind of are. It's okay. we can't say mad. He's a good kid.
You know?
Well, in St. Louis, too, that old Busch Stadium, if a guy's making a diving catch, he may end up in an emergency room, right? Because it was concrete painted, spray painted green, as I recall. So
exactly what it felt like.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it would get so hot in the summertime. It would literally get some of those summers. You know what it just gets like in the Midwest heat. It's just sweltering. But the guys who wore plastic spikes would come into the dugout, and then they put their feet in a bucket of ice. Because otherwise, if they just throughout the whole game just sat there, eventually those spikes would just start to melt.
Melt right into it. Yeah.
That's never good.
Right into it. That's how hot it would get on that nice, lovely asphalt of a infield they had. So.
It's
a beautiful stadium now with real grass and a lot of fun to play.
I remember that there was a doubleheader in the this is going to date me now. Although I've tried to date me a number of times. In the 1970s, and they had an 11 o'clock start, and then a 2 o'clock start because it was a getaway day. And so they're down at the old Busch Stadium, and I think it was Steve Swisher was behind the plate in the whole thing, the full gear. And they needed him to catch the doubleheader. And it was 100 degrees, right? It was a July, you know, like Tuesday afternoon. And it was like insane. And so he could not come back out for the second game. Because they said he lost 30 pounds in the game. Just sitting back there, cooking, literally cooking in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, you get the line of IVs lined up. Hey, everybody, load up again. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, just like, yeah, starting pitchers, a lot of times guys would be just dealing, right, because the hitter didn't want to hit. So they'd have, you know, six innings, 65 pitches. You're good. They'd be more afraid of, you know, somebody passing out from heat stroke or, you know, all those kind of things. So it used to just be vicious. When you had the turf, all of those stadiums there, Cincinnati.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Yeah, Pittsburgh, they were brutal when it got hot in the summertime. They made great decisions when they decided to switch to real grass.
No question. All right, Demp, thanks very much, man. Ryan Dempster.
Hey, absolutely, guys. Always good talking with you.
Thanks.
See you, Ryan.
All right, there he goes. He's my personal hero. Because he made his 10th, his fellow fourth graders happy in a tent one night.
So great.
Well, wait. No. I mean, like, you know, he's doing his own stand up, and then the dad is like, hey, come on. We're going to go watch a real guy do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a great moment. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon with the WGN News. That really did sound creepy. I'm sorry. That is not what I meant.
Ro, there will soon be a new way to get around town.